You are listening to the Point Harbor Church Podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Good morning, Point Harbor Church. How y'all doing this morning? It's good to see you. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 1. We are in a brand new series. And last week, Pastor John, Pastor Jose, and Pastor Jorge, the Dream Team, kicked off the series with a bang. Did you guys enjoy that last week? Amen. Amen. And there's a central verse that we're going to be looking at from time to time throughout the series. It's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And this is where Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." I don't know about you, but man, I need some power. Sometimes I look at my life, I'm like, man, I don't have what it takes. Oh my gosh, I need some help. Well, this year is the first year that my two-year-old daughter has seen the Christmas classic, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It's kind of a proud dad moment. You know, I'm sitting there with her, and she's giggling at Rudolph's nose, just kind of blinking, and she's laughing at the little elves twirling and making toys, and it was a blast up until she saw the bumble. And she says, "Oh, scary." I'm like, "Oh, it's okay. It's okay, you know." And then, we start laughing again as Rudolph finds some misfit friends, as you know, Yukon Cornelius, Silver, and his little poser dentist friend. Dentist, I'm a dentist. And they find some misfit friends when they go to the Island of Misfit Toys, and they're all hanging out singing a couple sad songs, but at least they found friends. And at this point in the movie, I'm like, you know what? Rudolph is going to be okay. He's going to be okay. He found his people. He's not alone anymore. He's going to be all right. But then Rudolph leaves all his friends. Remember, he just goes on alone. And he makes his way through the seven levels of the candy cane forest all the way to the Bumble's cave. And this is where it gets a little scary, a little violent. Because the Bumble now has Rudolph's family, and he's about to devour them. And the Bumble's growling, and he's holding up Rudolph's girlfriend, Clarice, and she's like, "Oh, no, help me, help me." And Rudolph jumps in to be the hero, and he says, "Hey, you put her down." And what does the Bumble do? He cracks him upside the head with a giant piece of ice. And I'm like, wow, this is a little more violent than I remember. I'm shielding my daughter's eyes, like, oh my gosh. Rudolph's there, his eyes rolling in the back of his head, and I'm like, man, he's about to die. Rudolph and his family are about to get devoured. But just before the Bumble bites, help arrives. Yukon Cornelius and the little dentist come to the rescue. Now, if you've never seen the movie, I'm not going to spoil the rest of it for you, but I will say it gets a little more violent, right? Like teeth are pulled out, and the dentist was an angry elf, I guess. But anyway, you might be thinking, Johnny, what in the world does the Bumble have to do with the Bible? It's a great question. Here's what I'm thinking. Like Rudolph, Christians are no match for our monsters. We don't have what it takes to take down our giants, and we need help. And all throughout the Bible, God is shouting to us, don't go alone. Don't go alone. Don't go in your own strength. In the first few sentences in the book of Acts, we see that God has not left us to ourselves, amen? That God has sent us help. I mean, how can I be a witness to the all-powerful, sovereign King of Heaven when I'm still terrified of the same things the world is? How can I be a witness to the all-surpassing worth of knowing Christ when I'm still treasuring the same things the world does? But we have help. Now, Luke, the author of Acts, is documenting what happened after Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 1. He says, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up. And after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying to his disciples, men, this is what you were made for, the kingdom of God. I've been with you for 3 years now, teaching you, training you, preparing you for the mission of a lifetime. You're about to change the world. You're about to oppose the forces of evil. You will bring light into darkness. You will rescue captives from the ends of the earth. But wait, don't you dare go in your strength alone. Look at verse 4. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. If the apostles did not wait for the promise, for the power, the apostles would have failed. And that's exactly why we fail in so many of our battles today, because we don't wait for the power of God. We go in our own power. And what God calls us and commands us to do is impossible to do in our own strength. I mean, we should never expect to do the things of God without God. Verse 8 again, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The power of God comes from the Spirit of God. And this is where we start, with God, not ourselves. We start with the power of God. When we wake up, we seek the power of God. When we drive to work, we seek the power of God. When we're at work, at home, with our spouse, with our kids, with our friends, when we are alone, we are to be seeking the power of God, or we will fail. We will fall into temptation. King David understood this. He said, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Brothers and sisters, walk with God. He's the most powerful being in the universe. Do you want to fulfill God's purpose for your life? Then walk in God's power. After Jesus told these things to his disciples, he ascended up into heaven before their very eyes, and their minds are blown. Can you imagine? They're just gazing into heaven, jaws on the floor. And then two angels just kind of show up. They're like looking at the apostles. They're like, hey, what are you guys still staring at? He told you he's going to return. Get ready. Prepare yourself for the mission. Verse 12. Now this is going to be the main portion we're looking at today. Verses 12 through 26. And hold on, it's about to get a little violent. Then they, the apostles, returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, not the bad Judas, but Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120. And he said, brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, the betrayer, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness. And falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Ekeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, Peter goes on, may his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us. One of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, who was numbered with the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, you are great, Lord. We are weak, we are needy, and we are here for help. Fill us with your spirit. Your will be done, Lord. Push back darkness. You know our needs. We need you. Lord, be with us now. Let your presence be here. Convict us through your word, through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. The title of this message today is, Will You Be Empowered or Replaced? Will you be empowered or will you be replaced? This section of chapter 1 centers on replacing Judas. And Judas was an apostle, but then he became apostate. He went from being a minister to being a mockery, from disciple to despicable, from reverend to reprobate. And the story of Judas is a warning to us all. Whether this is your first time in church or you've been in church your whole life, especially if you've been in church a while. And this is terrifying, right? How does this happen? Judas was so close, but he missed it. Judas had church. Judas had Christian community. Judas had serving and outreach and teaching, but Judas didn't have Jesus. He traded him for silver. And this still happens today. People trading eternity for a little bit of money, a little bit of lust, a little bit of fun. Humans are prone to throw it all away, aren't we? Remember that old hymn? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. I mean, even from the beginning, we are prone. Look at Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve gave up life inside a paradise for a little bite of forbidden fruit. Esau gave up his inheritance and birthright for a little bowl of soup. King David, a man after God's own heart, broke God's heart, murdered an innocent man, and lost a child for one night with someone else's wife. Maybe you've seen some famous TV preachers throw it all away too. They may have a jet. They may have a big bank account. They may have a big following, but they don't have God. They sold him for temporary treasure. We have to hear this warning for our own souls, because we get comfortable in church, don't we? We feel safe. We fit in. We find our people and we say, hey man, I got it down. I know the songs. I know the scriptures. So did Judas. He was close. Close enough to betray him with a kiss, but his heart was far from Jesus. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Judas didn't treasure Christ. He wanted money. His heart was on money, and that's the difference. You can be so close. You can learn about God, and your heart can be more interested in something else. You can sing to God, and your heart can be praising and worshiping someone else. You can serve for God, and your heart can be building up a kingdom for yourself. The heart of the matter is, what do we treasure? What do you want? What do you really want? A kingdom? A treasure for yourself? Here and now? Or do you want the King, the Creator, the one who loves you, the one who gave himself for you, the one who's preparing a place for you, the one who has inheritance waiting for you, the King of glory? The scripture says he is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. All things were made through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the bread of life. Amen. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is the pearl of great price. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Kings, Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God. The anthem of every Christian must be, take the world, take it, but give me Jesus. Can you imagine? Can you imagine when you see him face to face on that day? And he's smiling at you. And he says, well done. Welcome home. You didn't waste it. You didn't trade it for temporary treasure. You didn't sell me out. You loved me. You treasured me. Seek first the kingdom of God. Christianity is not about following religious rules. Aren't you glad? The Pharisees did that better than any of us in here, and they crucified him. Christianity is about knowing and loving and treasuring God. And what is God's desire for us? What is God's greatest command to us? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. He himself is the greatest treasure that we could ever dream of. Everything else will fade. The psalmist said, your love is better than life. And this is our mission. We're not here to work 9 to 5, retire, and then die. We've been sent to testify. This is what the apostles were sent to do. They were empowered to be a witness, to proclaim, hey, wake up, we found it. We found the treasure that never fades. We found eternal life. Look, Christ himself. I don't want religion, man. I want God. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they know you. The scriptures invite us to know and enjoy God when they say things like, delight yourself in the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I mean, this is an eternal, enriching experience. This is not a dull and dusty religious duty. Do you see the difference? 9 years ago, almost to the day, I proposed to my wife, Aubrey. And, we went down to downtown Portsmouth. I was super nervous too, right? But I was trying to make it super romantic. I wanted her to remember this, right? I wanted her to feel special. So we went to a little place called The Still, and then we went walking around the water. You could see all the little Christmas lights. You know, there's a couple of bums out there, but that's okay. It was magical still. I found the perfect spot. It was like warm and cozy. I'm like, this is the place. This is it. And so I turn to her, I look at her, and I mumble something. I don't remember. I'm sure it was romantic. And then I get down on one knee, and I show her the ring, and her eyes get all big, you know. You could just, boom, feel it, the butterflies. I felt like Rudolph, you know, flying around. She said, I'm cute. You know, that's kind of what my heart was doing. She said yes, and like bystanders were clapping, and the homeless people were clinking their beer things together. It was awesome. But what do you think she would have said if I got down on one knee and instead of a ring, I handed her a contract. I said, well, Aubrey, I'm getting older now. I don't want to die alone like Scrooge. And it's time for this drifter to settle down and find a life partner to commit to. And even though my heart is as cold as Jacob Marley's corpse, I'd like to propose that we enter into a deliberate and dull union for the sake of doing our duty for the furtherance of humankind. And will you accept my humble offer? You remember that scene in Titanic where Frozen Jack is like sinking? That'd have been me somewhere between Portsmouth and Norfolk. I'm like, get out of here. We were created to know, to enjoy God forever, to draw near to the warmth of his love. The gospel is called good news, amen? But there is some bad news in the story. The bad news is the road that we are on from birth does not lead to God. It leads to self. Self-righteousness, self-indulgence, self-reliance, pride of self, and so on. We've been going the wrong way the whole time. The scripture says there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. The bad news is that the bridge is out. We may be having a trip of a lifetime, but it's about to get violent. There's a story of a young shepherd boy in Ireland watching his flock, and the night before was a terrible storm, and so he wakes up early to see if the sheep are okay, and some tree branches are down and some trees are leaning over, but the sheep are okay. Actually, can someone hand me a bottle of water? I forgot my water. I'm drying up here. I feel like the Bumble without teeth. Thank you, sir. All right, just give me 2 seconds, all right? So what happens when you come to Point Harbor? All right. Lord, empower me. Here we go. So the young shepherd boy checks on the flock is okay, and he sees through the mist kind of parting a little bit that the railroad tracks go over this little teeny lake, but the bridge is out. And right when he sees it, he hears the train whistle. So he runs with all his might towards the train. Stop! Stop! The bridge is out! The conductor can barely see through the mist and keeps on going. The boy screams, stop! Stop! The bridge is out! The conductor sees the boy and just blows the whistle. Get out of the way, you stupid kid. Get out of the way. The train's getting closer. The boy runs straight for the train, waving his hands. The conductor just keeps blowing the whistle. Get out of the way. Out of desperation, at the last moment, the boy lays down on the tracks. Out of horror, the conductor pulls the emergency brake. The train comes to a screeching stop. People come out of the train. And as the mist is starting to clear a little bit, they say, man, the bridge was out. And a man in a nice business suit, probably going to work, making a ton of money, kneels down over the mangled body of the shepherd boy. And he says, this boy saved my life. This boy saved my life. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Repentance is an old religious word that simply means to stop in your tracks and turn around. To change direction. Turn away from your sin that is leading to death. Turn away from your self-reliance. Stop ignoring the warnings and receive grace and forgiveness from God through Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The bad news is, as sinners, we'll never make it to God. Never. on our own. The good news is God came down to rescue us. The Apostle Peter writes, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God." The Apostle John writes, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." The Apostle Paul writes this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The Son of God stooped. He left his home in heaven to become a man just like us, to live a perfect life, never disobeying the Father, unlike us, but to give us his perfect, righteous record if we receive by faith, and to die for our sins and to raise from the dead that he might carry us to glory. And now he sits enthroned in heaven waiting to return. Believing is receiving Christ as your all-satisfying treasure, as your Lord, as your Savior, as your King, and as your treasure. The Apostle Paul said, "I count everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Nothing else compares." The gospel of Christ is very, very good news. Amen. Looking back at the text, we see that Jesus gave the apostles their final instructions to remain in Jerusalem and to wait for the promised Holy Spirit. So what did they do? Verse 12, they returned to Jerusalem. They went up to the upper room, and with one accord, they were devoting themselves to prayer. Prayer is asking. They were asking God for what God promised to give them. "You have not because you ask not." Jesus said, "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Remember, these men were not warriors, but Christ was sending them into battle. Jesus said, "I'm sending you like sheep among wolves." So they were praying. They were asking, "Lord, we need you. Lord, please send us your power. Lord, send us your Spirit. We can't do this alone." Now remember, they walked with Christ, they saw his miracles, they heard his voice, they were trained by Christ himself 24/7. If they couldn't do it alone, neither can we. Man, I know I can't do it alone. The older I get, I'm like, wow, nothing. I can't face the monsters in my life alone, let alone the tiny annoyances of life without being empowered by God. Man, I can't even keep my testimony while driving in holiday traffic without God. For instance, it's around Thanksgiving. I'm driving to church. Actually, it was communion, the day of communion. I had a little speaking part, so, you know, I'm praying up. I'm with the Lord. "Lord, strengthen me, fill me with your Spirit. Thank you for this beautiful day." I look up in my rear view mirror, and there's a car right on me. And I'm like, you know, that's annoying, dude. But, Lord, I'm going to trust in you. Maybe you're testing me. All right. This Tesla was tailgating me the whole time. And then when I go on to merge on a 664, Mr. Tesla cuts me off. And I look over, I'm trying to make eye contact with him. I'm like, "Lord," you know, when you start to feel it in your chest a little bit, you're like, "I could throw a hand gesture, I could scream, I could swerve the wheel a little bit, you know, but Lord, help me. Jesus, take the wheel." I see Tesla driving back and forth, just passing people. And I say, "Lord, you know what? I'm going to trust in you." I've probably done the same thing. I say, "Lord, bless that guy. You know, save that. He needs you, Lord. Bring him to Point Harbor." Amen. 1 minute later, I'm on Taylor Road. I pull up right behind Tesla. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to get proud. Because all that speeding did nothing for you, bro. And then Tesla moves over to the right. I'm in the left. Tesla gets behind someone slower than me. And then I naturally just pass Tesla. I'm like, all right, I'm not even going to look. Just going to pray for the guy. Lord bless him. Tesla pulls behind me. I'm like, okay, here's round two. Lord, I pull into the street right here. Tesla pulls into the street. I pull into the parking lot. Tesla pulls into the parking lot. I'm thinking one of two things. Either Tesla wants to, or Tesla is coming to church. Said, all right. I park. Tesla parks. I get out of the car. Tesla gets out of the car. I lock eyes with him, and I say, Pastor Tim, what are you doing in a Tesla? I said, bro, you cut me off, dude. He's like, man, I'm so sorry. He's like, this Tesla goes kind of fast. All right. It actually does. He took me for a ride. I'm like, man, this thing has like 1.21 gigawatts in this thing or something. Just boop, 0 to 90. Anyway. The author, John Bloom, writes this. If we're not disturbed by how little we can do on our own power, we'll never be desperate enough to ask God for his. Jesus said, you can do nothing without me. Why do we expect to do things, the things of God, without God? We cannot. This is precisely how God has ordained to work in the world, through the prayers and obedience of his feeble, faithful followers. Weak and needy as we are, God will work in us. He promised to. 1 Corinthians. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Hear the words of the Lord Jesus in 2 Corinthians. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? I'm so glad God has not thrown me to the side because I'm not strong enough. He works in our weakness. He delights to work through your weakness. This is our God. Gracious, merciful, good. The prophet Isaiah says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Man, even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Come on, someone testify. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We wait in faith as we pray for power. God will always provide what he has promised at just the right time. Now, look back, verse 14. It doesn't say they were just praying. It says they were devoting themselves to prayer. Prayer is a pattern of the people of God. Prayer is mentioned all throughout the book of Acts. At the major turning points in the life of the church, you see people praying. I mean, God works through the prayers of his people. So, what does your prayer life look like? Are you devoted? Or are you, Lord, help me. Lord, bless the food. Lord, now I lay me down to sleep. Jesus told his disciples on the night that he was arrested, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Romans 12 says we are to be rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, and devoted to prayer. The Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it. Does that sound like your prayer life? I'm not here to bop you on the head, man. I'm preaching to myself. Are you devoted to prayer, or are you devoted to your device? Do you spend more time praying or scrolling? more time praying or gaming or binge watching? What could God do in your life if you simply devoted, dedicated, set apart yourself to prayer? It's how he works in our lives. The more we ignore him, the less we will see him. And at the end of the service today, Pastor Tom is going to stand up here and we are going to pray over Pastor Jorge as he leaves for Cuba. And I can say with confidence, it is God's will that we devote ourselves to pray for El Sembrador. Pastor Jorge, Pastor Francisco in El Sembrador, Peru, Pastor Oscar in El Sembrador, Nicaragua, Pastor Earl, Pastor Victor, El Sembrador, Hampton Roads, your pastors here in Point Harbor. It is God's will that we devote ourselves to pray for one another. What will God do in this church? God works through the prayers of his people. We will either be empowered through prayer or we will be replaced. There's only two options. We are either all in or all out. We are either hot or cold. God spits out lukewarm followers. There's no middle ground when it comes to following Christ. Christian, listen to me. Jesus is not simply an addition to your life. He is your life. The Apostle Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus didn't say, follow your dreams. Jesus said, follow me. Take up your cross is an invitation to die to ourselves and live in Christ. And man, that's a really good thing because we get his power, not our own. We get his peace, not our own. I want his joy, his goodness, his self-control. I want his love. It never ends. Mine's going to end. The apostles had a good idea of what they were giving up. Jesus told them, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. They were giving up safety. They were giving up comfort and retirement and treasure and their dreams, but they had a really good idea of what they were gaining. God himself. This is the last time in Scripture that we see all 12 of the apostles mentioned together. In fact, we don't hear about most of them ever again in the Bible. They didn't do it for their name or for their legacy. They were faithful to the end, and they gave up everything. They gave up everything this world could offer to gain what they could never lose, God himself. We hear from church history and early church tradition that all of these men suffered terribly. They went straight into the den of death and faced the monster they feared the most. The Apostle Peter was crucified upside down in Rome. His brother, the Apostle Andrew, was reported to be whipped severely and then tied to an X-shaped cross to prolong his suffering, where he continued to preach to his tormentors for 2 days, and then he died in Greece. Matthew was killed by the sword in Ethiopia. Thomas was stabbed through with a spear on a missionary journey to India. Bartholomew was flayed to death by a whip in Armenia. John was boiled in a basin of oil. Miraculously, he did not die, so they sent him to the prison island of Patmos where he wrote the book of Revelation. James was beheaded in Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul was beheaded in Rome under Nero. And what about the apostle that replaced Judas? Matthias. We don't know a lot about him. It's pretty obscure. But some traditions claim that Matthias was stoned to death at the end of his ministry to cannibals in the country of Georgia. These men, these ministers, these missionaries were faithful to the end. They didn't face the monster in their own power, did they? No. Man, I want to be empowered as a minister. I don't want to be replaced. I want to be empowered as a husband. I don't want to be replaced. I want to be empowered as a father. I don't want to be replaced. What about you? What do you need his power to do? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, you're so good and gracious to us. You pour out your spirit upon us. You are with us. You will strengthen us. You will help us. You will uphold us with your righteous right hand. I pray that you do this now. You know the needs of your people and you love them. Your children, your sons and your daughters, you care for them. In this moment right now, I want to invite you to just tell God, Lord, strengthen me for this. What is it? One thing you need power to do. Ask him. You have not because you ask not. And then when you drive home, ask him again. When you go to sleep, ask him again. What do you need the power to do? Don't go on your own. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. Do your work in us, in El Sembrador, in Peru. We love you. We need you. We declare you are our treasure and our power. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Pastor Tom.